Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory unto you.
Thank you, Jesus. Give hallelujah. Them hallelujah,
praise
Jesus.
You, Lord.
Glory thank you for Jesus. Revival, Jesus.
Amen. I heard Ricky say, y'all be seated. I heard Ricky say a few minutes ago that we're leaving Saturday. That's right. After Saturday night, this will be our last night. I mean, Saturday will be our last night. We'll actually be packing up the tent Sunday and leaving. But I got a secret for you. Don't tell anybody. God's staying.
Amen.
Jesus is going to stay right here.
Amen.
With you. He's going to send some of you with me, too. But he's going to stay with you.
Amen.
Isn't that nice? Amen. You know, John was telling me, I don't talk much about him up there. You see that guy right there? That's John. Say hi, John.
Hi, John.
Have I embarrassed you yet? Okay, let me know when I do. I'm going to have fun tonight. I don't know about you. I'm going to have fun. Have no clue what's going to happen. Don't have a clue. Don't know what I'm going to preach on. Well, yes, I do. I'm going to preach about Jesus.
Amen.
That's all I'm going to preach on. But in the meantime, we're going to have fun. Amen. And right now, I'm going to pick on John.
Amen.
Have fun together, John.
When you get to be the head of the church, you can do that too. Of course, Jesus is the head of the church.
Amen.
I'm just the head of this little puny group here that God loves. Amen?
Amen.
See, pastors, if they were smart, they'd take advantage of all the things God gives them, and they'd pick on their people. People need picking on. You know that?
Amen.
You know why? Because people take themselves too serious. People just take themselves too serious. I mean, you get a man that wants to serve God, and he comes to church, and he serves and everything, and somebody says, you know, Brother Phil over there, he's really wanting to serve God. We ought to make a deacon out of him. And so, you know, people get together and they think about it and say, yeah, you know, Brother Phil, he's a good brother. He's on church every Sunday and he's always helping. Yeah, we ought to make a deacon out of him. Of course, most churches, that's just a way to get free help. But they'll go in that. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I hear them. So they'll ordain old brother over there a deacon. And then one day, Brother Brother Phil begins to take himself too serious. And he goes from being a deacon to a Dickens. So then the church ends up with a bunch of Dickens. And how can you run a church right with Dickens? Can't do it. And God can't do it. So I found a long time ago, if you just pick on people every now and then, it keeps them human. And I know I get my share of picking on, because God's all the time picking on me and making me to be stupid, because I have to be reminded that He is God and I'm not. He is the one that is righteous. He died for me, not the other way around. He created the universe. He created the worlds. He created all things. And you know what? He didn't need my advice.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure I could have, if I had been there, I'd have some ideas for him. I probably would have had ideas like three sets of teeth. Huh? I would have liked God to have created us with three sets of teeth. You know, the first set is babies because we ain't too tight wrapped. We're going to lose them anyway. And the second set because, you know, somehow or another we haven't got that the first time. And we don't take care of them. So some of us that don't learn too good, we got to have plastic choppers. Oh, preacher, not supposed to talk that way. That's the beautiful thing about being free in the Lord. You can say anything.
Amen.
I'm liable to come in here tomorrow night and leave my teeth in the camper. They come out here and gum a message to you. My wife's going to watch this and die. She's going, oh, he's doing it to me again. I just love God. And you know, when you love Jesus Christ and you love God, you really just can't take yourself too serious. You can't do it. Because he's too great. He is too great. And his love is too wondrous.
Amen.
And it just washes away all that other stuff. See? Now, John, we were picking on him, right? He thought he was going to get off the hook, but he never gets off the hook with me, you know. John, he gets into this loving the Lord thing pretty serious. He really does. And he'll get out there, and he'll serve God and worship God, and it doesn't matter what he's doing. He can be over there washing a dish. And he'll wash that dish with every bit of conviction and love and seeking to please God as he will to get up here and play the guitar. And that's the truth. And if you watch him, you'll see that. You'll see it. And you know what? I can say, John, stop doing that and do something else, and it doesn't bother him. Now, how many of us bother to be interrupted from doing something? You know, you're doing something and somebody says, hey, stop doing that. Come over here. That's what children of Israel did in the desert, you know. They murmured. They murmured, and we murmur. Don't we murmur? Huh? We do. Lord, you don't treat us good enough. Lord, you don't do this good enough. Lord, you don't do that good enough. Lord, you don't do the other thing good enough. Lord, why don't you give me this? Lord, why don't you give me that? Lord, why don't you fix my wife? Lord, why don't you fix my husband? He's broke. He was broke since the second day I married him. I married my husband, Lord. He was a great guy when we were dating, but man, as soon as we got married, he was replaced by some weird monster slob. And he's just broke. You women don't know what I'm talking about, do you? And you men, you don't know what you're talking about. Lord, what happened to my wife? She was the sweetest little thing. I could do no wrong. Everything I did, it was all right with her. I'd say, honey, let's go here. And she'd say, yes, dear, let's go. And honey, let's go there. All right, let's go. And we got married, Lord. And I said, honey, let's go over here. She said, what do you want to go over there for? That's stupid. Huh? Am I right? Am I the only husband that ever went through that? Any of you other husbands ever go through that? And you say, Lord, fix her. And he said, how can I? I'm fixing you. And I'm using her to do it.
Amen.
Lord, fix my husband. I can't. I'm fixing you. And I'm using him to do it. Lord, fix the pastor. I can't. I'm using him to fix you. See, God uses us for each other.
Amen.
You ever heard of a jeweler's tumbler? Jeweler has this thing in his thing. It's called a tumbler. It's a little, looks like a little cement mixture type thing. Got a little door on it. And he takes all these jewels, and they're just gray, ugly old things. And he takes these jewels and puts them in the tumbler. And he starts it spinning. Now, what do you think happens to those jewels in there? They tumble against one another. And they hit one another. And they hit against. And pretty soon, after he's finished, he pulls them out. And they're shining and crystal clear and beautiful. Because he rubs them against each other. Why do you think God formed the church? So we would be used by his power to work with each other and against each other to polish us.
Amen.
That's why God doesn't put you in a perfect church. See? Because when he puts you in that perfect church, guess what? you're there. And that means it's not perfect anymore.
Amen.
For years, I tried to find a perfect church. Lord, show me the perfect church. And I'd go to this church over here, and I'd sit there and watch. Oh, Lord, that's such a nice church. I'd like this. And I'd get in that church. Guess what? I found out it wasn't perfect. Those people just didn't appreciate me the way they should. Preachers don't understand what I'm talking about, do they? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? He gets back here to study, oh Lord, I've given my life to you and I've served you and you give me these people. Lord, don't you love me anymore? I'm telling on you. Am I right? Oh, no. All right, who's here that goes to your church? If you love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. Give him a cheer.
Hallelujah.
Where are you going? Where are you going? I didn't tell you to leave. Okay, you stay right there. I remember years ago when I was a young minister traveling with this minister, and he said, Richard, come up here and stand here. I want you to tell people something in a minute. And 2 hours later, I was still standing there. He forgot all about me.
I worry about that sometimes.
Worry?
God is so good.
Did I hear you say worry?
I only said it. I didn't really think it. God is so good that He's going to let me off this time. I don't want to preach it, but God is going to forgive me.
You're right about one thing. You didn't think.
Amen. But then, that's how I am.
That's right. And you know what? God uses all things.
Amen.
Because, you see, I was sitting over here, and I was singing and praying. What do you want me to talk about next? And I figured, well, I'll come over here and pick on Scott. He'll give me something. And he did. Amen. How many of you remember the story of the seed and the sower? Remember that story? And how that the sower went out to sow the seed, which was the word of God, and it went out and cast some on the wayside, and the birds came and plucked it up. Some fell among the rocks, sprung up, but when the sun came out, it was toast. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns choked them out, and then some fell on the good ground. We got to fix that, boy. Some fell on the good ground. Did you know? Everybody knows that story. And Jesus told them about the birds. They were the demons that took the word out of the heart. Amen. And then the one about the seed that fell on the rocks. I've met a lot of Christians like that. They come to the Lord. Have you noticed? I don't do altar calls a lot. I'm not real big on altar calls. Sometimes God tells me to do an altar call. I do one. But I used to do altar calls all the time, and I'd see the same ones coming back to the altar time after time after time and time again. I'd never see any changes. Never see any changes. And then I found out something that was real interesting. God said, start telling them to go and get in their closet. Get in their closet and pray and seek it, secret, where their Heavenly Father heareth in secret. Anybody remember hearing Jesus talking about that? And your Heavenly Father who heareth in secret will reward you openly.
Amen.
Have you noticed, those of you that have been here, who's been here every single night? Alright? Have you noticed that I don't do a lot of praying? Have you noticed that? You don't see me get up here and do a lot of praying? Why? Because I'm not going to impress you. I don't care about impressing you. I do my praying in that closet back there.
Amen.
And then I bring out here what God's given me. See, that's a secret. A lot of people want to impress people. If you're wanting to impress people, God's just going to stand back and let you do your best. But if you are wanting to serve God, He'll be right there with you. I had a man one day come up to me and said, "Preacher, I've got a problem with you." I said, "Well, you're probably not the only one, but go ahead." He said, "I want to know why when you started the service and started preaching and all, you didn't ask the Holy Spirit to come in with you and to guide and direct and teach." Anybody ever hear preachers do that? "Oh, Father, we come before Thee in humble obedience and ask You to send Your Holy Spirit." Have you ever heard that? And you know what I told him? I said, "Mister, when I walked in here, the Holy Spirit walked in with me. And when I leave, He's leaving with me."
Amen.
And he looked at me with the wildest look. And see, he had to make a decision. Either this guy is the most prideful, boasting idiot, or he knows what he's talking about. And you know what? 5 hours later, he determined I knew what I was talking about. Did you stop and think? You received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He said He's not going to leave you.
Amen. Amen.
You asked for the Holy Spirit. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you."
Amen.
If you've got to ask for Him to come again, then either you didn't get Him the first time, or you don't believe Him.
Amen.
So when I come in His tent, I don't say, "Lord, be with me." I know He is.
Amen.
I'm not going to insult Him with unbelief. I'm going to thank Him for being with me.
Amen.
I'm going to praise Him for being with me. And then I'm going to walk in that boldness that He's commanded me to do. Because I want to be that wheat that fell on the good ground. You see? Now, I had a preacher in South Carolina. John, you were with me there. Had a preacher in South Carolina. We had the tent up down in, no, not South Carolina, North Carolina. In Charlotte, North Carolina. John said, "What's he talking about?" We were in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we had the tent up. And we're standing around the back of the tent, and this Cadillac comes driving up. And one of the women was there, says, comes over, "Brother Richard, is that a pimp?" I said, "No, that's a preacher." "You're kidding me." "No, that's a preacher." And serious, "John, am I telling the truth?" This guy comes riding up in his Cadillac. He's got him a pinstripe suit, one of them hats with a white, you know, fedora with a white band around it. He's wearing spats. He's got gold around his neck like Solomon's temple lost. He was a big guy, too. He had to be to carry all that gold. And he's walking up there, and there was a young man there. Well, young man, he was almost my age, but not quite. He's standing there, and he's smoking a cigarette. And this preacher walks up there, and, "Hi, I'm the Reverend Mr. So-and-so." I said, "Hi there, Rev, I'm Rich." And he said, "I just thought I'd come and see what this here tent was all about." I said, "Well, it's all about Jesus."
Amen.
"Well, that's good. Young man, what are you doing? Smoke that cigarette. Don't you know you're going to die and go to hell? Smoke that cigarette. Bible says you're not supposed to defile the temple. You're going to hell." Anybody ever hear that before? Mm-hmm. "Lady, what are you doing wearing pants? You're supposed to wear a dress. Don't you know you're going to go to hell if you wear a pants? God don't like you if you're wearing pants, woman." I tell that kind of preacher, "Shut up." I tell my wife, "Wear whatever she wants. If I like it, that's what counts. It don't matter if you don't like it."
Amen.
Amen.
Woman, don't cut your hair. You're going to go to hell.
I happen to like her hair short. Shut up. Women, please your husbands. Don't worry about that stupid preacher down the road. Amen. Amen. So anyway, I told this guy, I said, hey, man, you got a real interesting slant on life there. Tell me something. Do you remember the parable of the seed and the sower? And he said, yes. I said, how about telling it to me? And he went through the whole thing. And when I got done, I said, tell me, out of all those seeds, who was saved and who was lost? Remember? One fell on the wayside, the birds snatched it. One fell on the rocks, they grew up, burn out. One fell on thorns, they were choked out. One fell on the good ground, and they produced fruit. I said, who was saved and who was lost? He said, well, the seed that fell on the good ground, they were the saved ones, and all the rest were lost. I said, no, you're wrong. The seed that fell on the ground over here and the birds plucked, yes, they were lost. The seed that fell on the rocks, and oh, they were happy, but when tribulation came, they denied the Lord, they were lost. But the seed that didn't produce fruit, they're your congregation. And you haven't done your job and gotten rid of the weeds. See, that fell among the thorns, what did Jesus say? It was the cares
of the world
and riches of the world. Anybody know what a care is? Look it up in the dictionary. How many times you walk down the street and somebody say, hey, brother so-and-so, how you doing? Take care. Huh? Anybody ever do that? And you say, oh, okay. Hey, Sister Rita, how you doing? Everything all right? Well, that's good. Take care now, y'all here. And we say, all right. Of course, you don't do that, y'all up here. We talk Pauline in the South. Did you notice Paul was a Southerner? Said, you all. Hey. So I told this preacher, I said, you see, the word care is a noun. Take is a verb. Take care. Take fear. That's what care means. Fear. Worry. Mental anguish. Mental torment. Didn't know that, did you? And every time somebody tells you to take care, they don't mean that. They don't mean for you to do that, but they say the words, and words have meanings.
Amen.
And meanings of those words stand eternal. A lot of people try to change the meaning of words. Satan's an expert at it. He's an expert. But the meaning stands. So if Satan can get you to agree to take care, what's the Bible say? Two or more touch and agree. It's going to happen. Out of the mouth of two or more witnesses shall anything be established. So if someone says take care and you agree, Satan has all the legal rights to bombard you with worry and fear and anxiety and mental anguish. He has every right in the world. See, my Bible says people perish for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
People come up to me and say, take care, Pastor. Nope. No, thank you. Take it. What do you mean? Now I get a chance to witness to him. See? I know a man right now. He's down in South Carolina. Had an opportunity to come up here. Worried himself into a heart attack. Would not come. Why? Because he deals in fear and worry and mental anguish. And refuses to let it go. Can't let it go. You know why? He's rebellious. He's rebellious. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know he's rebellious, but he is. Do you know there are a lot of Christians in the world today that don't know they're rebellious? They don't know it. They think they're serving God. They think they're serving God right. Didn't Saul of Tarsus think he was serving God when he was killing the Christians and throwing them in prison? He thought he was serving God, but he wasn't. Jesus loved him anyway, knocked him off his high horse. Is that where we got that term, high horse? Knocked him off his high horse, and what ended up happening, he humbled him a little bit. And then Paul found out what the real word was. See, sometimes God has to do that with us. You know, there are a lot of Christians right now in the church of God across the nation. I say church of God, I don't care what name it goes by. I could care less what the name is. And they're not producing fruit. And they're not producing fruit because the pastor hasn't taken away the weeds. I hope you're going to be a taken away weed pastor, if you're not already. Amen?
Amen.
Take away the weeds. Don't add to them. I chased that preacher off in North Carolina. I chased him off. And he didn't like me too well. And I could care less. I'm sowing good seed. I don't need somebody running around sowing bad seed.
Amen.
That's the devil's job. That's not my job, and it's not our job.
Amen.
The devil's job does that, and his people. Now, what are some of these bad seeds that the devil throws? Worthiness. Had a man, I don't know who it was. I know it was somebody the other night I prayed for. In fact, I just laid my hand on him and prayed for him a little bit. Was that you, sir? Was that somebody else? It must have been somebody else. Somebody else in here had a bad... The back was bothering him. That was you, Jack. And you got up and walked over here to the side of the tent, and then you come out, and I asked you, your back bothering you? How was it after I laid hands on you? It didn't hurt anymore, did it?
Amen.
See? Do you know that any one of you can do the same thing?
Amen.
If you believe in Jesus, any one of you can. Any one of you. You know what stops you? Weeds.
Yep.
I'm not worthy. I'm just not worthy. You know, Rut? I agree. You're not. Not one of you in this tent is worthy to lay hands on the sick and heal them. Not one of you in this tent is worthy to say in the name of Jesus, devil be gone. Not one of you in this tent is worthy of anything that belongs to God. But you know what the beautiful thing is? God gives it anyway.
Amen.
He gives it to you anyway. And you know how I know that? Because I have it.
Amen.
And if I were to look at worthiness according to the world, I know there are people in this tent that measure up better than I do. If I were to look up religious worthiness, if I were to look at religious worthiness, there are people in this tent that are better than I am. But just because a person is religious worthy doesn't mean they're God worthy.
Amen.
And doesn't mean God knows them either. You remember, the most religious man that was ever created was Lucifer. He wasn't even a man. He was an archangel. And he was religious. And his job is religion. I don't preach religion. I don't preach religion. I don't teach religion. I don't like religion. I don't want nothing to do with religion. Nothing. Buddhism is a religion. Hinduism is a religion. Mohammedism is a religion. There's all kinds of isms out there. Masonism is a religion. Did you know that? I know you know that. The Masonic Lodge is a religion. It is not Christian. It is satanic.
It's out of the pits of hell. And they can come to you and say, let me show you my Masonic Bible. It's a real Bible. No, it's not. I'm not, you know, I told you I was going to try to make somebody mad while I'm here this week. I'm not here to impress you, folks. I'm here to tell you the truth.
Amen.
God will do the impressing.
Amen.
God's the one that we want to impress. And I want to take away the thorns and the thistles and the things that will bind you down so you can't know the real God.
Amen.
The God that loves you. The God that died for you. The God that shed Himself for you. The God that wants to put Himself in you and share His life in you and through you.
Amen.
There's nothing greater. And when that happens, what do you stop doing?
Worrying.
Yeah! Give Him a cheer. I want to sing a song. Can I sing one? Is this thing in tune? We hope.
Got A minor?
I do have A minor.
You want drums or you just want me?
We're gonna do one we haven't done since we've been here. Now, everybody knows Amazing Grace. Amen? And Amazing Grace is one of those songs you usually sing at the end of an altar call or something like that, you know, but we never do anything like people do in church here anyway, so why start now? I always like to sing about God's amazing grace. But we're not gonna do it the way you're used to hearing it. We're going to do it the way God gave it to me a long time ago. And I love to do it this way.
Here, you say.
Especially this song. You people don't want to hear me sing this song.
Praise
Thank
Jesus.
You.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy, O Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise
you.
It's all about God's grace. It's
Amen.
All about His love. It's all about His goodness. You see, preachers try to take that away from you. Good preachers don't. Good preachers know the truth, and they want you to have it. They want you to have the freedom that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
They want you to have all the goodness that is in Christ Jesus. And they're not jealous of it.
Amen.
But the hireling, see, there's a hireling preacher, and there's a called preacher. And the hireling preacher tries to bring it to himself and surround himself with glory and all this other stuff. And he wants everybody to look at him and not Jesus Christ. And so he tries to keep it all to himself. He's the only one that can preach. He's the only one that can see. He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can prophesy. He's the only one that can do these things because he's better than you. But the good minister, the one who is called of God, he takes what God gives him and hands it freely to everybody. Say, look, you can do it too. Come on,
Amen.
Let's do it together. Let's have fun.
Amen.
Let's
Thank
share
you.
With the good things of God.
Amen.
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 I'll just show you something. I haven't picked on you tonight. Come up here, Paul. Say something for Jesus tonight.
Jesus is Lord, and he's merciful, and he's gracious, and he loves us. And he, like the good pastor he was talking about, desires to give his gifts to you. He desires that you would know him and know God, and that He knows your heart. He knows you're not worthy. But He loves you anyway.
Amen.
And He wouldn't want you carrying any junk around that would separate you from Him.
Amen.
Please don't do it. His love is abundant. He's changed hearts amongst us this week. He's moving in our lives. He's revealing himself to us. He's showing us what junk we're carrying around, and he's helping us get rid of it. Don't live your lives in opposition to God. Get a part of that peace treaty and learn the power and the grace and the ability to minister that he would want you to have. It's overwhelming to see the work. This John he was talking about his dedication to being a servant of God has beat me about the face and head and back and convicted me just in his quiet, just doing what he's doing, just doing what he's supposed to do. There's not a complaint, there's not a murmur. And that broke my heart. And, you know, the first hour of the first morning of the trip up here, I'm sitting here going, man, there's no shower here. We got, you know, no coffee. What am I supposed to do here? I'm going to wait till people wake up. People been in here four times and woke me up since 5 o'clock. I didn't get to bed until 3:30. And I was like that for about an hour. And another John was my sleeping mate this week at times. Yes, it was. And God started using him. He said, you know, this man's a veteran. He slept in places he didn't like. He served in places where the air, you carry it around with you. Hot. Uncle Sam didn't give him a choice. We're dealing with a God that doesn't want to give you a choice either. He wants you to serve him. And stop murmuring.
Amen.
There's two people. There's two kinds of people. There's those who are serving him. They don't want to listen to this. They're busy. There are those who are not serving him, and they don't want to hear it either. So don't bring it to me.